Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, praise God, and I am excited to be here. My name is Dr. Happy, some call me Leah Killing, so whatever you call me a child of God. I am so excited on tonight for many reasons. One, because it's January, and it's my favorite month of the year because it's my birthday month. But more importantly, I have another opportunity to share the gospel, and so for that, I am always excited. And so I always like to play my favorite song, When Jesus Says Yes, because nobody can say no. And when Jesus says no, nobody can say yes. And so it always just gives me that pick-me-up that I just need. It just makes me so excited to do the assignment that God has before me. And so that is to teach. So if you tuned in, we call ourselves Empowered to Change, and we are functioning under the direction of being able to encourage, to educate, and to empower. We educate and we empower all to the glory of God. And we encourage because of God. Amen. And so his word is always, always encouraging. And then we always want to make sure that we learn something. It may not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely one that we can learn from. And that whatever information we don't have, God will give us that information and then allow us to explore and then equip ourselves and then be empowered to make the necessary changes. And then when we do that, we'll want to tell it. And then they'll be empowered. And so it has a twofold assignment. And so we are so excited that you tuned in on this wonderful January Monday. And I am excited for those of you that are brand new to the broadcast. If this is your very first time listening in, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. We pray that you will hit all three marks. You'll be encouraged, you'll be educated, and you will be empowered. For those of you that have been with me, can you believe 11 years we've been in this thing? 11 years, and I'm very, very excited that God has blessed me to be able to continue to study to show myself approved, to rightly divide his word. But more importantly, that I enjoy learning content so that I can have whatever it is that he needs to pull from. And one of the things I think we sometimes forget, that just because we want to do something doesn't necessarily mean that that's what God wants us to do. Studying and the reading that I do, sometimes God will change it up in a heartbeat. And so because of that, some days my confidence is a little shaky because now I have to stand right on the word of God and stand on the spirit of God. And because I know those of you that have been faithfully listening, whether it's been 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, the whole time, you're constantly praying for me. And I know that and I can feel that. And I thank you for that. And sometimes, like my sister, she'll text me in the middle of a service and let me know that something's not right. And so I appreciate those texts and calls too. And so I always want to make sure that I acknowledge you. And then the person that I name by name has to be Jesse and Tammy Stowe because it's too many to name. But I have to name these two because if it hadn't been for them two, I wouldn't have known that this was a platform for me. And so for that, I say thank you. And not only do I thank him for the platform, but I also thank him for being stewards of the word, that they're examples and that they continue to support and continue to push men and women and even children to be what God has called them to be, and that is to share the gospel. And so for that, I will always call them by name. Now, the greatest name we call has to be Jesus, amen, because his name is above every name. And so before we get into our lesson, we thank those for dialing in. I give my girls a high five for that song because, praise God, when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And then we go to God in prayer and give him all praise and honor, and then we start our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for another year that we can actually say that we have made it to 2024. We pray, Father, that you will lead us and guide us, that we will acknowledge you in everything that we say and do, so that you will get the honor and get the praise. We pray, Father, that we'll never do anything any of our own selves without acknowledging you first. And that's why you said to acknowledge you first and you will direct our path. So, Father, we just thank you for being the vine and allowing us to be connected to you. And I think sometimes we take that for granted. And as I was watering my flowers this week, I really realized how significant it is for us to be connected. Because if you're not connected, you don't get the nutrients. You can't grow until you'll die off. And so we thank you, Father, for allowing us to be your branch. And we pray, Father, that you will continue to feed us and nurture us so that we will bear fruit that will remain. We thank you, Father, also for allowing us to be able to know that we can't do anything without you. And so sometimes, Father, when we fall astray and we think that we can do it on our own, we thank you for providing the opportunity for us to ask for forgiveness so that you can just forget, praise God, because we try to hold on to it, but you drop it in the sea of forgetfulness, and we can move on, and so we don't have to operate guilt and condemnation because that's not you. You'll convict us, but you'll never condemn us, and so we thank you for that, Father, things that we can be grateful for, but we can't name them by name or even be able to form the right words. nor do we have enough time, Father. So we just thank you, Father, for the few moments that we have to be able to honor you and adore you. And we pray, Father, that you will be in this hour, not just because someone is dialed in today or logged in today, but those that will be listening in 2 or 3 weeks or years from now to the rebroadcast. And we just thank you, Father, for always stamping it with a rhema word. So we love you, we honor, we adore you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. If you're just tuning in, praise God. If you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. I'm excited that you call me. Amen. But I'm grateful that you acknowledge that I'm a child of God. And so each week, it is interesting how God just lays on my heart what to talk about and how to share the gospel. And so I wasn't quite sure because there were so many things I had been reading over the weeks because I've been struggling. And so, praise God, I've been able to attend, and I mentioned her name before, Dr. Ellen, her Saturday teachings. And so it's just been an amazing time to be able to really just kind of scour through the scriptures and just read different things and how just the way that God blessed her to be able to teach and just to help me in the light. I'm there to help her, and she's helping me, and she's overwhelmed and moved by the things that I'm teaching her. And little does she know that, praise God, God is using her to meet me where I have been having a few deficits. And so here in this realm, this system that we live in, many times when we go through situations, we tend to do those things on our own, and we tend to forget that we are supposed to depend on each other. And I think sometimes it's so easy for us to go by ourselves and heal by ourselves. I remember a friend told me that I had a dog syndrome, that when I get hurt, that I go off and I heal myself and then I come back. And mainly that's because I claim and profess to be Dr. Happy, so I can't be sad and I can't be in a different continent and then still, you know, believe that I'm witnessing. But nevertheless, I have realized that everybody can't be happy all the time, amen, that there are some times that we have different emotions and that we have different situations. And I know that the Bible says that when we have challenges, that we have to count them all joy. But nevertheless, sometimes because our flesh is weak, that we need people to help us, to build us up, to allow us to know that it's okay. It's okay. You just get back on the horse and keep it moving. But nevertheless, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants us to believe that our practices, he wants us to believe that the things that we do are without, that we can't be, we can't repent, that we can't get around it, or that people will look at us funny or look at us differently. And we have to remind ourselves by being in the Word, because sometimes even being in the Word, a couple of weeks ago I had my teeth pulled. Y'all, God has helped me get beautiful again, amen. But nevertheless, they wanted to use gas, and so I thought, oh, you know, amen, okay, yeah, go for it. And so they put the gas on, and so me, not knowing any better, thinking that if I just took deep breaths, it would work faster, it was too much. And I had gotten to a point where I was so high that I couldn't even form sentences. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is not right. Now, I could talk to myself, but I couldn't say scriptures. And I'm like, Lord, I know I'm the vine and you are the branch. If a man remains in me and I in him, he bear much fruit. Apart from me, you do nothing. I know that back and forth. But all I could say was I. And then I got I am. And it puzzled me because I thought, Lord, this is not right. Something's not right. And then I could hear the doctor saying, her blood pressure is way too high. We may have to stop. And so at that moment, I knew, okay, Lord, I can't say scriptures, but I know Jesus. I'm just going to say Jesus a few more times to make sure that you get my blood pressure right so that these people can finish this procedure, because you are the one that brought me here, because I believe and trusted you to even go up under tonight, because I don't know this woman. Amen. So you led me here, so you got to do it. So do what you need to do. And praise God, he allowed it to come down. But in those moments, it puzzled me. I'm like, Lord, I know the scripture. Lord, I know I have many scriptures in my heart. Why I couldn't think of any? But it was so, I'm taken back, but I was totally, because I practiced. I was like, I can lift my hands. I can move my shoulders. And a couple of times, I was like, no, baby, you got to be still. I could hear all of that. But I questioned, why is it that, Lord, I couldn't remember or it couldn't come to me? And I realize sometimes we fight ourselves. And when you fight yourself, sometimes you'll lose because God doesn't want you to. You yield. And so when I yield to him, then praise God, I guess she realized. She said, baby, is this too strong? And I nodded my head, and so she turned it down. So praise God, again, needing someone to help. And so I believe in my heart today that God wants us to understand why it is important for us to use and to have one another, why it's important for us to appreciate having other people in our lives. Many times we think that we can handle things, and sometimes we can. But nevertheless, in Genesis 2, the scripture talks about how even God said himself that man should not be alone. And so because he said that man should not be alone, he created someone, another one, amen, to be with him. And so sometimes when we get to a point where we believe that we have to be by ourselves, Proverbs tells us in chapter 18, verse 1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desires. He rages against all wise judgment. Why? Because when we try to abandon ourselves from people, when we abandon ourselves from knowledge, from wisdom, from help, from resources. We got to get out of that. It's my business. Ain't nobody in my business. I mean, we hear that so much that it becomes a mantra that we believe that we're proud because I can handle this by myself. Well, it wasn't designed for you to handle it by yourself. We can't make ourselves. We can't teach ourselves, although my daughters thought that they could teach themselves how to walk. But nevertheless, they still needed help. We need help from one another. And so we have to make sure that we understand why it is necessary for another. And so those of you that know me know that even though I know what another means, I always look up the words that God places in my heart to study. And so we have to have a better understanding of what it is that God wants us to get and grasp from it, even though we may know what the word actually means. And so when we look up the definition, my favorite Google, says to use to refer to an additional person or thing of same type as one already mentioned or known about one more, or as one of my mentors used to say, another person. Amen. But nevertheless, it is an additional person or an additional thing, meaning we need help. We can't do it by ourselves. And so the benefit of one more or another further gives us an opportunity to see things from a different perspective, to do things, to learn things, to gain things. And so I was blessed to be able to go through my notes because God has told me that I've helped so many people and they teach ministries that I need to start the ministry that he birthed in me. And so I'm thinking, well, okay, Lord, where do I start from? Where do I go from? Where do I look? And so I'm going through my notes and I realized that I have taught so many people. And I was just, I accidentally, God bless me, to find this file. And I thought, wow, Lord, I mean, It moved me because sometimes I forget, because I love teaching, that I forget teaching and having private sessions, having group sessions, having class sessions, doing Bible studies, being invited to do Bible studies in different places. I enjoy it. I really do. It's one of the things that, as somebody said, what is a habit? It's teaching. I just love it. And so nevertheless, one of these things that I found was this list. And I thought, wow, Lord, you said another, and here's this list. And so they give a full list of different things that go with another. But I chose the things that I believe God wants us to stand out on. And so the thing tonight that we'll talk about is why it's important for us to serve one another, why it's important for us to accept one another, why it's important for us to honor one another, why it's important for us to teach one another, and then last but not least, to encourage one another. Now, mind you, there's so many other anothers. We can give to another, submit to another, devote to another, greet one another, and then, you know, my favorite, smile for another. Amen. But nevertheless, God gave me these six to really ponder on in the time that we have for tonight. And I thought, well, why six? And so six, for those of you that study or know numerology, six is referred to man. And I believe in this hour, God needs for us to really start looking at ourselves. What are we doing? What are we doing to benefit promises that God has? There's so many for us, but we miss out because I was listening today and the other day, and it was, God, there is no sin in God. And I thought, oh, wow, that really is deep when you really think about that. There is no sin in God. So if there's no sin in God, if there's sin in you, then amen. He's distant. And you don't ever want him to be distant or be away from you. And though we still, you know, do our challenges, do our dirt, he said he'll never leave us nor forsake. So I'm confident, amen. And even in the dirt that I do, nevertheless, God will never leave me, ever. I believe that. To my core, I believe that. And so because I believe that it's important for us to serve, to accept, to forgive, to honor, to teach, and to encourage one another. And so tonight, God blessed us with scriptures, and so we're going to tiptoe through the Bible for a minute. And so I want to make sure that I address my baby. She set some scriptures out for us today. And so she said, Mommy, you have to use the scriptures that I pulled up. And I said, yes, baby, I'll use some of the scriptures you gave me. And so one of the coolest things is that the scriptures that she pulled up dealt with trust. And so in order for us to be able to trust anything that the word says, is that you got to know where it came from. And so when you know where the word comes from and you know who you belong to. And I think we sometimes forget that. And one of the things that my old pastor taught me, and he wasn't even my pastor anymore, and I kind of dismissed going to those services. And one morning, it was just on my heart at 5 o'clock in the morning to just listen. And so I tuned in, and it was the best thing I could have ever heard. It changed my life forever. And one of the things that he reminded me, because I always take things personally, and you should too when you hear the voice of God, at least the voice you believe is a sign in the hour to give you truth, is that you have to know who you are, and then you have to know whose you are. You have to know your assignment, and you have to know the process to fulfill it, to know that you are destined to fulfill it, and that you are always, always destined to win. Always destined. That stuck with me. And I mean, I was running around. It was 5 o'clock in the morning and I couldn't wake my grandma up, but I was so moved because it did. It changed my life. Now I know who I am in him. I am a king's kid and can't nobody tell me no different. I am the daughter of a king. And because I am a daughter of the king, I know that he has things for me that are designed especially for me. And so in order for me to have access to that, I have to be about my assignment. I cannot be willy-nilly and doing whatever it is that I think I need to be doing. I need to do what's going to uphold the reign, if you will, of a king's kid. And so because I know who I am and I know who he is, amen, I know my assignment. Because I ask him, because he said if you remain in him and his words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. And of course, I'm going to ask it according to his plan and purpose. So he's going to tell me, I want you to teach. And as I tried to do all these things, I kept going back to teaching. And that's exactly where God lined me up to be a teacher. And then know that I am destined to win in any area I'm going to be in. And so it's interesting how one of my mentors, she calls me to teach Bible study, and she's like, Leah, I need you tomorrow. I know it's after 11 o'clock p.m. Can you teach tomorrow at noon? Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because I understand what it means to be ready at all times. Why? Because I studied enough to know that I could talk about a passage on and bring a scripture to it and give you some revelation. Because of me? Absolutely not. But because I know that the Father will never leave me nor forsake me, and because I know that I have committed to him to teach for revelation, he's going to give me something that's going to make that gum stick. Amen. And you're going to chew and get the savor, and you're going to get the flavor. And if you get a Rickley's or if you get spirit, whatever you're going to get, you're going to get, because God's going to give it to me to give to you. And so I cringe sometimes when I'm in the midst of people, especially when we're going to places where we're designed to hear the word of God, and you don't have paper and pencil. If you know you're going to church, what are you going to church for? Just to go? Or are you going to hear the word of God? And if you're going to hear the word of God, you got to have paper and pencil so you can write down what he tells you, because that's the assignment. He's telling you what he wants you to do and how important it is for you to fulfill it. But if you don't write it down, you're not going to remember. And so when you don't remember, you're not going to be able to complete it. And that's why it's so funny when people say, oh, the preacher preached today, what did he preach about? It was good. I don't remember, but it was good. But nevertheless, getting back, I can go in different directions. But nevertheless, my daughter says the scripture she gave. One was Joshua 1:9. I have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Amen. And so I remember my sister years ago. Amen. She was early years, that's almost 30 years ago. She was in this play, and so she, camp, I can't remember what it was. Be strong, be brave, for the Lord thy God is with you. And so when I saw this scripture, I knew exactly where she was coming from. And so it just made the her experience even the more why it was so important for her to sing those songs, so that people could have that saying in their brain, so that they would know that you have to be brave and you have to be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. Wherever you go, he's with you. Amen, amen. So thank you, Jeremy, for sharing your scripture with me. But nevertheless, back to the lesson at hand, to serve. And so the scripture that God gave for us to serve one another is Galatians 5. And so the main scripture, of course, it's quite a few of them, so I won't say main. We'll just read a few of them because I want you to make sure that you have a good understanding. Whenever I study the word, I always try to read around the scripture, the isolated scripture, especially if it's a devotion or somebody tells me to go to this particular passage. I always read around it. And so it's so interesting that you can pick out nuggets. And those of you that study the word, you may not always remember where it is, but you can remember when you see it. And so I always love starting at the top because I want to know who is actually talking. Who is it addressing? Who is it talking to? And so it says, well, it is freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. I was done. Amen. We are free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And so it doesn't necessarily mean what our ancestors, some of our ancestors did 400 or so years ago. But this is just, you could be slave to sin, you could be slave to grief, you could be slave to anything that's not of God. Don't be burdened by that. Take that yoke off. Mark my words, and this is Paul, I tell you to let yourselves be circumcised. Christ has no value in you at all. Basically, he wants you to become to him clean, come to him in the right posture, come to him in the right spirit. And then if you skip down to 5, it says, for though the spirit we eagerly await by faith, the righteous for which we hope, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcised nor uncircumcised has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing through love. So now we understand that love is important. So now that we got love, we want to make sure that we're running a good race. How are we running a good race? Well, we have to be a good race. If you skip down to 10, it says, I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever may be, will have to pay the penalty. So don't be guilty of putting people in compromising situations. Brothers and sisters, I am still preaching circumcision. Why am I still being persecuted? Then the case of offense is across the violence. So basically he's saying, like many of us, and I'm one of them, Lord, if I'm going to continue to minister for you, why do I keep having all these things on problems? Why do I keep back and forth? Well, because, amen, it is for us to understand. It is important for us to keep the command of God, to not use the freedom to indulge in our flesh, but rather to serve one another humbly in love. And how do we do that? We do this by keeping the one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, you will be destroyed by each other. So we need to walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so that you do so that you do not do whatever you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you'll do what you're supposed to do under the law. Now, I'm reading fast because, you know, I got a lot to talk about, and so I don't have much time. But for the most part, amen, what this is basically telling us is that we want to make sure that we love our neighbors as ourselves, and that's how we serve one another. But how can you serve one another and love one another if you don't love yourself? You got to understand why you have to go through certain things. There was a time I just didn't understand, Lord, you know, okay. You know, I lost my vision, you know, and I'm going, I lost my parents, go to start there. And then, you know, all the challenges that I went through to, you know, to get through life, just to get to, you know, college and all the other things. And then, you know, just stumbling upon, you know, just interesting people that, you know, were not kind and nice. And just, I never understood, and I was always different because I always have been, you know, transparent and open and to the letter. I believe everything. I believe the good in every one because I was given and presented to the Lord as a child and was done in a holiness environment. And so everything we did was a sin. And if you sin, you was going to hell. So I was convinced that, you know, anything I did was erasing my name. And so I just believed that you do everything you got. I mean, and I literally, but I still do that. But then I had to learn and realize that, you know, the gifting that I had was to give. And so I was always giving of myself. But I give big and I hurt big because people take that for granted because we're not serving one another. But nevertheless, my goal is to be led by the Spirit and not by my flesh. So I don't get caught up with people. And sometimes they hurt, but it's not going to make me not serve. It's not going to make me not help. Because somebody does me wrong. Me and my daughter had this conversation today. She said, well, Mommy, remember the saying, you got to believe what people show you. And I'm like, is that scripture? I said, we say that so often. I said, Ivana Van Zandt and Maya Angelou said, you know, when people show you who they are, believe them. Now, that's an interesting statement when you really think about it, because that ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. When you really think about it, because it's telling you right now to stop treating that person nice, because they showed you who they are. But what if one day they change? But because you're going by that statement and you hardcore in that statement, you can't see them because they've shown you who they are, but they haven't shown you the new person. So we can get so caught up because of cliches and things that people say sound right. But did we give it to God or is it scripturally based? Yes, the Bible says don't throw your pearls to swine and kick your dust off your feet. But it doesn't say don't serve them. It doesn't say don't give them another chance. It doesn't say don't give them the benefit of the doubt that the next time you see them, which could be tomorrow, they could have given their lives to Christ. They could have had a miraculous change. And we're so busy judging them because yesterday you showed me who you were, so I'm not going to serve you. Saints. And then so the question is, well, God doesn't want me to be taken advantage of, but think about what Jesus did. They crucified him. He still died for us. He knew they were going to talk about him. He knew they were going to mistreat him. But he still died. He still served. He still served. He knew who we were. Believe it. These folks ain't going to get right. Believe it, Lord. Don't die. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you. Yes, you knew my heart was tore up and messed up, but I thank you that you gave me another chance. Thank you. Got to serve one another and give people chances. Amen. Okay, that's time running out of time. Okay, the next one is we have to accept one another. That scripture reference is going to be Romans 15. A lot of nuggets in Romans 15, but let's start with 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ had, so that one mind, one voice, you may glorify God, the Father, your Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become the servant on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made might be confirmed. Saints, we got to get it together. There are so many people hurting, and it's because you showed me I'm good. We're not loving like we should. We're not serving one another like we should. We should be the example that the world sets. But we're following the world pattern, yeah, because we're taking classes, and we're taking all these different lectures, and we're writing down quotes, and we got confessions. And we're not even confessing the word, but we're confessing, you know, Gail Blow from Kokomo, but we won't confess the word. We won't confess the word. Maybe we can love somebody to Christ. Maybe our service to them, maybe because we've accepted them, that they'll be won over to Christ. But no, you know, you live that lifestyle, I can't do nothing with you. The Bible said, don't be amongst them. We take the scripture how we want to use it. Amen. But that's not what that meant. But nevertheless, why the next one is we have to forgive. Why is forgiving important? For that very reason. Because we judge so quickly. But we have to be reminded. In verse 3 of Colossians, it says, we have been raised with Christ, so set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. We're too focused on earthly things, saints. We don't have our minds on the things above. Our minds are set on what I can have right now. This new Beetle that I'm looking for, y'all, I'm excited about it. Amen. But if God said no, amen, I got to say no. And if God says that it ain't time, then saints, it ain't time. But the world says, well, you need a car. You need to get around. You need, and so, you know, in my mind, yeah, I do. But saints, we got to see God first. And we got to put our hearts and our minds on things above. Now, I'm just using me. You put yourself in the situation because God, I mean, amen. He talks to us all. It's not just me. He talks to us all. I like verse 6 says, the wrath of God is coming. Saints, do you know what wrath means? Wrath is way down the road from anger. Why do we want to disturb God today? Why don't we do what he tells us to do? Verse 9, don't lie to each other. put off old practices and put on new self, which has been renewed in the knowledge and in the image of who? Our Creator. Amen. So it says in verse 12, therefore, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience, and you bear each other and forgive one another as it has been grievous, has been against you. You needed somebody to forgive you. Matter of fact, God, first and foremost, he forgave. But other people, you've crossed and hurt other people, and you want them to forgive you, so we got to forgive others. And that's why I love 15, and this is, and my sister's listening, I know she's listening, Colossians 3:15, that's what we used to sing, YPWW, let the peace of God rule in your heart, and all, let the peace of God rule in your heart, and be one body, and be thankful, Colossians 3:15, amen. That's what we learned in YPWW. Young people, willing workers, amen. Shout out to the Church of God Christ. But anyway, verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and being thankful. We are called to peace, saints, called to peace. We are called to peace and to let the God, the love of God to rule in your heart and the peace of God to rule in our hearts. If you do that, amen. That's why it's comical to me when people say that I hold stuff against people. Can't do that. Don't want to do that. Because, amen, I know that eats you up. And I've had too many problems. Cancer, strokes, all that. Because I'm eating up on the inside. And it wasn't that I was mad or angry at one particular person. I was hurt. And hurt is worse than forgiveness, in my opinion, because it ate me up. Just not voicing what people have been doing to me or why I thought that it was necessary. But that was my flesh. Because I was more in tune to, Lord, I don't want them to hurt my feelings. And he's like, feelings? What are you talking about? I had nails in my hands. And so me and my girlfriend, we laugh now because she calls us, well, I call her Miss Edna. And she calls me Elastic Girl. And so when I get crazy, she's like, get yourself together, girl. You know who you are. You're a king's kid. You ain't worried about your feelings. Get out of your feelings and do what God called you. Get out of your flesh and do the instructions that God told you. Do what God called you to do. Amen. So now we serve, we accept, we forgive. Now we got to honor. And so we're going to go to Romans for that. In Romans 12. And I'll say these again because I know my sister, sorry, she's talking so fast, I can't keep up. I'm going to repeat them again. So Romans 12. When we talk to Romans 12, we get to talk about Romans 12. I like this starting at the beginning. Like I said, I always start at the beginning. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the paths of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can be approved of what God's will is, with good and pleasing and perfect. Now, of course, I can skip through some of this like this, you know, because I've been read these a few times. But I want you to go back and read it and get that in your knowing. Get that in your knowing. Why would I continue to allow, and although I love Lisa Maya Angelou, but she can't trump God. She can't. She can't trump God. Nobody trump God. Amen. So I like the verse. We skip down to verse 3. It says, for by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith of God has distributed to each of you. So all of us, he didn't leave anybody out. And that's why it's so funny to me sometimes how we are so judgmental, especially those of us in the religious community, like we have a monopoly on God. He loves us all. And so we have to remember that because he loves us all, we have one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, do many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace which is given of us. And, you know, and then it explains, you know, some of this, and of course not to holler out teaching, because teaching is next. And then if you encourage, if you teach, if you encourage, well, I guess I can't skip over prophecy. If you prophesy according to your faith. If you serve, then serve. If you teach, then teach. If you encourage, then give encouragement. If it's given, then give generously. And if it's lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We have assignments, saints, all of us. All of us. And we have to be about it so that we can be one unified body. We can't have the hands doing something that they ain't supposed to be doing, and they supposed to be doing the action of the foot, and then the foot doing what the head's supposed to be doing, or what the eyes. And say we as a body of believers, we look just like that, deformed, because we're not honoring what we're supposed to be honoring and doing what we're supposed to be doing. It says in verse 9, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, devote to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. That's thinking of other people more highly of yourself. Many times, and I had to learn this from my baby girl years ago. She was a little girl, and you know, she was our firstborn, so she had a whole bunch of toys and stuff. And the kids just take them and just play with them and scare them everywhere. And I'm like, baby, they took that out of your hand. That's your toy. She said, well, mommy, they don't have one. And I'm like, girl, you better go get that toy. She said, it's okay, mom. They can play with it, because when they go home, I'll play with it. I'm like, okay. Witnessing as a child, witnessing. And now I have gotten to that when people are like, well, you should speak up for it. For it. There's no point. Why would I argue about something that I already know the truth? Doesn't matter. And sometimes we get so caught up. What if me not saying anything, they realize that they are in error, and now God can use them to humble them. If I had gotten involved and would have messed it up and going back and forth. Me and my daughter had this exercise yesterday, and I said, you know, when people don't do right to you, so what do you do? Do you do it right back? And I said, now you're going back and forth. Y'all are arguing. Just wait. And when they do the same thing you do and say, oh, wow, remember? Yep, my bad. And I said, then laugh. I said, then that way, amen, they know that you recognize that they know, amen. But you know, there's nothing to argue about. Because they know that they did what they did because they called you out. I'm just like, yep, see, well, we both doing it. And so go back, yeah, I know I did. Yeah, you did it. I know I did. No, that ain't necessary. Because you acknowledge by saying, my bad. And then, yep, your bad. Yeah, okay. And then when they say, there's so many other ways to communicate with each other, to honor one another. And then we have to, moving on, amen. Oh, wait, I want to make sure that I do verse 12. It says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and fervent, faithful in your prayer. Share the Lord's people who you are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who do not curse. Rejoice in those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited and do not repay evil another for evil. Be careful what is right in the eyes of everyone. Sometimes you can believe you are wholeheartedly right and you are wholeheartedly wrong. And because somebody is mature and will love you and honor you, will allow God to help you figure it out. Because sometimes you just can't convince people. And so it's not our job. That's God's job. But you give it to him and you let him show them. And I guarantee you he will. Because he loves us. So he says he'll never leave us, never forsake you. So he's going to leave you looking wayward? I don't think so. Anyway, teach. My favorite in teaching, 2 Timothy verse chapter 3 starts out that way. But mark this, so make sure you take attention to it. There will be terrible times in the last days. We are there, definitely. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love or forgiveness, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Well, got to read a little further than that because it doesn't mean, okay, oh, yep, that's the lady at work. Nope, that's the lady down the street. the Bible said don't have nothing to do with them people. Anyway, you don't want to be too comfortable with them people because, praise God, those things will come upon you. Amen. Spirits, but nevertheless, whole nother lesson. But you do have to be kind to those people and win them over by God, not you doing it, but doing the things that God calls you to do. Now, if God tells you to leave them folks alone, then amen, you keep it moving. You plant the seed and let God do worry about the water and the nurturing and the picking up and all the other stuff. Amen. But the scripture is to let us know that these people are here and that we need to be in a position where we're always learning and then recognize that there's people that are going to be learning that just won't be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then the verse 7 and 8 gives even examples of who was opposed to Moses and how they were opposed to him teaching truth and then how their minds became depraved and then they were rejected. But they didn't get really far. Why? Because, amen. Amen. You can't get past God. Amen. And so we'll skip it down to 10. It says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my ways of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering. Lord have mercy. Yes, we have to go through that. What kind of these things happened to me in Antioch? And he's explaining this is what happened to him. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. See, sometimes, you know, we can get so caught up, and I know my sister gets tired of me telling the story, but it was so much. It was like back to back to back to back to back. I mean, I was struggling, and I, you know, didn't want to get in Job's seat because, praise God, I know he struggled way more than I did. Amen. I was grateful for the little bit that I had go through, but it was a lot, and it was a lot for people they really cared about me to watch. And she was like, Leah, maybe you should just stop ministering. Maybe, you know, just take a break because the devil, you know, he's just, you know, he's going at it. And I was like, you know, it would be better if I stopped. Would it be better if I just followed and answered the call of the enemy to shut me up and shut me down? Would that be better? Then I would have to deal with God. If this ain't God allowing this for me to learn something, to grasp something from it. And so now I'm going to skip it down to verse, well, I'm going to do 14 anyway. It says, but after you continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you've learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, we are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. That and that alone has helped me understand why I had to have cancer, heart attack, strokes, and aneurysm, and skin crawling and skin peeling and nerve damage and teeth falling out. All of that, and car accidents, losing our house, losing cars. I understand that. I understand that now because as much as I thought I knew, I was still infant in the scripture because, I mean, I took for granted because, like I said, I tell y'all all the time, Google is my friend. I don't have to memorize no more scriptures. Amen. The ones that are in me, I got to know. Who was I to think that? I was boasting more highly and thinking more highly of myself than I ought to. I still need to memorize scripture. Why? Because my assignment requires. And then my favorite scripture, when I definitely defend the word, is all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that everyone will be thoroughly equipped for good work. That's why I had to go through what I had to go through so that I could get my butt back to sitting down at the table with an actual Bible in my hand and stop leaning to Google. Because Google is not God. I need to get my word. Now, granted, I still thank God for the research of Google, but I depended on Google because I didn't need to know no scripture. And then I was ministering. You ain't got to memorize. Just go to Google. Oops. Sorry, Lord. My bad. I repent. Yes, you do need to know where these scriptures come from. It is important. It may not be necessary in the moment, but you should try real hard to memorize scriptures. Why? Because, last but not least, they will encourage you. It is necessary for you to have the word of God in your presence. Why? And this is still part of teaching, too, but it's part of encouraging, too. And moving into 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience. Be careful with instruction. I wasn't careful with instruction telling people they didn't have to memorize scripture. They could just go to Google. Now, in the times, amen, amen. It is necessary for us to study the word of God. Why? Because of verse 7, it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I want to be able to say that when that's my last breath. I don't want them to just be reading and say, I hope you fought a good. No, I know that's what I'm going to be able to say. Fought a good race. And I fought the good fight. And I kept the faith. I kept the faith. And now I'm looking for my crown of righteousness, which the Lord said that he would award me. He said that. How do I know that? Because somebody told me. No, I read it. I read it for myself, so I know. Amen. Okay, encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5. So there's a whole bunch of scriptures in here. Amen. But I'm going to start with 16. It says, rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, and then there's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't quench the spirit, and don't treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. Just because it's a good saying, don't mean it's a saying from God. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul, body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord, the one who calls you his faithful. And he will do it. Brothers and sisters, I pray for all of us. And I'm going to greet all of us. Amen. That's why I love happy faces. But just say holy kisses for the happy face because I can't reach you. And I charge you for you to go with this letter and read it. Read these scriptures, Saint. Read it not only for yourself, but read it to all your brothers. Encourage your brothers and sisters that they need the word and that they need to know that we need one another in order for us to live in peace with each other. We have to. And we have to regard everything in the highest regard of love. Why? Because God is love. God is love. Okay, so tonight we talked about serve, and the scripture that went with that was Galatians 5, and it was mainly 13, but read the whole chapter. We did serve, and then accept one another. That's Romans 15, 5 and 7, but read all of them, like amen, in your spare time. And then the next one was forgive one another. That was Colossians 3. And that, again, was a whole bunch of them, but 1 through 10 and 12 and 17. And then honor one another, Romans 12. I did, the first three, of course, and then 7 and then 9 and 21. Teach one another. I did 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4. And then, of course, to encourage is 1 Thessalonians 5. I'll say that one more time. It's serve one another, accept one another, forgive one another, honor one another, teach one another, encourage one another. Amen. Serve, accept, forgive, honor, teach, encourage. Galatians 5, Romans 15, Colossians 3, Romans 12, 2 Timothy 3 and 4, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Saints, I am never out of talk with the Lord and think about the Lord, but I am out of time. And so I have to reserve the next part of our lessons for the next week. And I pray that you will tune in, or we'll have another inspiring word to help us gain insight so that we can be good and faithful servants, and so that we can say we did our race. We did that thing. We did what God told us to do without question, without compromise. We did it without murmuring and complaining. Yes, our flesh is weak, but God gives us an opportunity to ask forgiveness, and then we can move on. That's why we need each other to remind us, like my friend says, get yourself together. It's important that we stay morally, intellectually, and spiritually sound. Sound in the things of God. Because, praise God, we can turn this world around. Because if enough of us understand our body parts, amen, and get in mind, this member, this body, holy body member, can turn the axis of this situation and the things that we're enduring in the Middle East, we could turn that around together. But amen, we got to come together. My uncle always says, you know, if we just humble ourselves, God will heal the man. We got to humble ourselves. But nevertheless, I always close my prayers with my granny's favorite song, "Every Praise Belongs to God." And it's getting a little easier to say that, amen. But nevertheless, I know she's always, always encouraged me and always motivated me. And so I will always dedicate this song, this closing song, to her. Every praise belongs to God, because it really be blessed and have a wonderful week. And I will see you on the other side. Be blessed.
Hallelujah.